Such a jam. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday with Steve Earle, the great Steve Earle. Tom requested some Steve Earle for Wild Card Wednesday. He just finished up two nights at the City Winery here in town. Last night, the night before, played City Winery. Couldn't go, heard it was fantastic. And as Steve Earle always is, that's the great Steve Earle with Copperhead Road, which is a jam. So it's Wild Card Wednesday, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And also, call us and text us with your thoughts on the fact that U2 is going to be touring the Joshua Tree Stadium Tour in honor of the 30th anniversary of Joshua Tree. And they will be playing the entire album. And we are going to be talking about some of the bands that have done that. That seems to be a thing now, especially at festivals, where bands decide that they're going to perform one full album. They'll play other songs as well, but one full album from the first cut to the last cut. And we want to hear what albums you would like to see performed live and what bands you would like to see perform them. So it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. U2 will mount an international stadium tour this year to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Joshua Tree. The legendary Irish outfit will perform their classic fifth album in its entirety on each date of the U2 Joshua Tree tour, which is scheduled to start on May 12th at BC Palace in Vancouver, Canada, and includes the band's first-ever U.S. festival headline appearance at Bonnaroo Music and Arts. Now, what's the MO of Bonnaroo? Is it
hippie jam band?
Because Dave played that.
Yeah,
played
I think they're kind of getting a little bit away from that.
Yeah,
but it's mainly hippie jam band.
And is it like multiple days?
I believe so.
Okay, so the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival, U2 is going to play there. Produced by Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois, it is peppered with hits like With or Without You, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, and Where the Streets Have No Name. The Joshua Tree cemented U2's status as the biggest band on the planet. The LP peaked at number one in the U.S., the U.K., and across Europe, and is now diamond certified by the RIAA. Recently, I listened back to the Joshua Tree for the first time in nearly 30 years. It's quite an opera, comments Bono in a statement announcing the tour. A lot of emotions which feel strangely current, love, loss, broken dreams, seeking oblivion, polarization, all of them greats. All of the greats. I've sung some of these songs a lot, but never all of them. I'm up for it. If our audience is as excited as we are, it's going to be a great night. The Edge shared his thoughts on the upcoming dates and what fans should expect and see and hear. I don't think we're going to go overboard with reinventing the wheel, but we'll definitely take those aesthetic ideas and kind of update them somewhat. Let's see. So it'll be the Joshua Tree 2017, not the Joshua Tree 1986. The support slots on the U2 North American dates will be filled either by Mumford & Sons, One Republic, or the Lumineers, which, by the way, the Chicago date on the 3rd, your opening act is the Lumineers. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds will open in Europe. What? Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds? 2017 is shaping up to be a particularly busy year for U2. In a recent interview with Q, Bono and The Edge both confirmed that they're hard at work on the follow-up to 2014's Songs of Innocence, and that it's expected to drop before the year is out. The general ticket on sale, the tickets on sale January 16th in Europe and the following day in North America. For more information, you can visit U2.com and LiveNation.com. So tickets go on sale on January 7th, a week from yesterday, January 17th. So it'll be Tuesday the tickets go on sale. The date here is June 3rd. Lumineers are opening. So that sounds, that sounds great to me. I'd go. I would go to that. What day of the week is June 3rd? Do we know? Can we check on that?
Saturday.
Oh, okay. That's good. Dan, have you ever seen U2?
I have not seen U2.
Esmeralda, have you?
I haven't.
You a fan?
Not really.
What?
I mean, they have their hits, but...
Oh, man.
Eh.
I've seen U2 many times, and they're a fantastic live band. The first time I saw them was for the Unforgettable Fire Tour in 84, I want to say. Yeah, Unforgettable Fire 2 in 84, maybe early 85, and it was at the UIC Pavilion. I saw them on the Joshua Tree Tour one time, and then I didn't see them again until, man, oh, man, I want to say 2004, maybe? So it was like 20 years. I hadn't seen them in like 20 years almost. It was for the it was the Vertigo tour, and they were at the UC. And I saw them at Soldier Field a couple of times. They're great live. They're to this day they're a great live band. I mean, really. And then Joshua Tree is a it's a legendary album, and to hear that album from front to back is pretty cool. Now, Esmeralda, have you ever gone to a concert where a band is, an artist has played an album, a whole album, front to back?
I don't think... No, I haven't.
No?
I've missed out, because there's a few bands that, you know, they played Riot Fest and things like that. And
yeah.
They did that, and I didn't go.
You know, the what's funny is that I saw... Let's see. I've seen Dave Matthews on one tour performed all of Before These Crowded Streets. See, the thing is about Dave Matthews is that they'll perform that whole album, and then like they'll play another 900 songs because their set is like ridiculous. There was a time Pearl Jam actually played all of Yield. They toured and played all of the album Yield. Let's see. I'm trying to remember. But one of the more unique ones was Cheap Trick, who played four nights in a row in 1998. They played four nights in a row at the Metro. I went all four nights. And they played their first four albums straight in a row. It was a different album each night at the Metro. I mean, they played other songs too, but the hook was that each night was a different album. And that was phenomenal. I went all four nights. It's just ridiculous. Four nights in a row. Went to see Cheap Trick. But every night was phenomenal. And on the final night, it was a Saturday night. The final night was a Saturday night, and they did Budokan. Because Cheap Trick at Budokan is their fourth album. And so they did Budokan and had, like, you know, Billy Corgan was there. He came out and did a couple of songs with them. And the final night was, like, all-star night. There were a lot of people who just showed up. Lots of stars. And it was nuts. And it was sold out. It was packed. The Metro was packed to the roof. All four performances. And it was just great. And then they released an album from those nights. And it's a live album called Music for Hangovers. And it's a great live album. And I'm actually, you can see me in the crowd in the CD, like the little... Like the you know, the little booklet that comes in the CD. You can actually see me in the crowd. And I was in the balcony. That was the second night. I was in the balcony the second night because I was on the floor for the other three nights. But I was in the balcony for the second night, and you can see me with... I had my crazy Schlitz shirt on. And at the time, I had really, really long hair. And you can see me, like, doing the devil horns and, like, shaking my head with my Schlitz... shirt on. That's on the inside. When I brought Music for Hangovers home and I opened up the CD and I was looking inside, I'm like, hey, that's me! And I'm standing next to my friend Cynthia. So, pretty cool. Because they took a picture from behind. You know how they do those shots, Esmeralda, where they take a picture from behind the band so that you can see the crowd?
Yeah.
It was one of those.
Oh. Yeah.
And that's inside the Music for Hangovers CD. But that was a pretty great week, man. You know, four nights in a row, different album every night, going in chronological order from the first album through Budokan, and in a space like the Metro, to see Cheap Trick at the Metro was pretty amazing. So that was cool. So anyway, Joshua Tree, 30 years old. Number one, that makes me feel old. Two, would you go see the Joshua Tree tour? I would. I'm going to try and get some tickets and go. And what artists have performed full albums that you've seen, like from front to back? Or what artists would you like to see perform a full album? What album would that be, from first track to last track? 312-981-7200. And I do have, Esmeralda, I do have a list of the last few Riot Fests where they did that and the artists that did it.
Yeah, most of them I did want to go see.
Yeah.
But I'm lazy.
It's yeah, and
I don't like crowds.
I know, I don't either. That's the other thing. I mean, I'd love to go see, you know, the Joshua Tree tour. I'm not really good with big, huge crowds, and Soldier Field is obviously a big, huge place to see shows, and I've seen many shows there. I saw Dave there a couple of times. I saw you two there a couple of times when I was a kid. I saw Floyd there. I saw Nugent at the Super Bowl of Rock. It was Nugent and Journey, 38 special. But I don't do that anymore, man. I can't do the festivals. At least it's not a festival. At least it's only two bands. It's like a normal concert. You got your opening band, and then you got your headliner. So, all right. 312-981-7200. Let's take a break here for weather and traffic. Wow, man. Wow. So at 513 area code, Wild Card Wednesday continues. It's Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. 513 area code requested Barry Manilow, everybody. Yeah, Barry Manilow. Are you digging this one, Esmeralda?
It's jazzy.
Who's been sleeping in my bed? I don't know, Barry. You better check it out, dude. Don't put up with that crap.
I would have liked Copacabana.
Yeah, he had, boy, he was just, his hits were just ridiculous. You know, that guy in the 70s, early 80s, pff, ridiculous. You know how he started, right, Esmeralda?
No.
As Bette Midler's musical director.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
When she used to play, because she used to play a lot of bathhouses. She played a lot of gay bathhouses, and she played a lot of gay in the gay market and stuff. She was really, obviously, you know, like really popular with the gay community. And he was her music. He started out, he played piano with her on stage, and started out as her musical director. That's how he got his start. And you know who basically kind of discovered Bette Midler in terms of mainstream? He saw her in a nightclub and put her on the show and basically broke her career wide open.
Is it your buddy?
Who?
Johnny Carson.
Yes, Johnny. Very good, Esmeralda.
I completely forgot his name there
for
a second.
That's very good. Yes, it was Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson essentially discovered Bette Midler and gave her the big break.
Yeah, I assumed because she sang the last song on his show.
Yeah, that's right. She did. So there you go. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking about the fact that, well, one, that I'm old and that the Joshua Tree is 30 years old. Two, U2 is going to tour on the Joshua Tree Stadium Tour. The Chicago date is June 3rd here at Soldier Field. And they're going to play the entire Joshua Tree album from the first cut to the last cut. What would you like to see, or have you seen? What artists have you seen perform full albums? Let's take a couple of phone calls here. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Morning.
Boy, I can't follow that. Barry Manilow's bed, and boy.
Yeah, who's been sleeping in Barry Manilow's bed?
Actually, didn't he also get really started by writing a lot of famous commercial jingles?
Oh, he wrote a ton of jingles. That guy.
Yeah, I don't remember any one of them,
a ton of classic jingles, like the jingles that 30, 40 years later, people still sing from commercials. Barry Manilow wrote a boatload of those.
And he probably probably opens his mailbox and gets checks every day.
You know, he was getting checks before he was writing hit songs, before he became like the phenomenon that he was in the 70s. The guy made tons of money just from those jingles.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, hey, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. God bless him.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I told Dan I'd love to hear the Beatles play Revolver
in Tardy,
but that can't happen.
No, if we could control time,
right.
and Revolver is my favorite Beatles album.
That's mine too.
Oh my God, that album is perfect.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this though because 3 years ago and 2 years ago, Will Lee from David Letterman's band has a side project called the Fab Four.
Yes. Oh no. Yeah. They play here in Chicago.
Yeah, they played Chicago Theater 2 years in a row. My wife and I saw them both. Yeah, at Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
And they do a Beatles song in its entirety, and they're not dressing like the Beatles. Will Lee's dressed like Will Lee, not wearing shoes.
Yep.
And it's amazing. And that after we saw those shows, I went home and I said, I'm getting a turntable. Rebuy a turntable and rebuy all the vinyl that I threw away 25 years ago.
Yeah,
like we all did. And because it's when you hear that, this is how the artist wanted it to be listened to.
That's
not
right.
Shuffling mixed in with Britney Spears and whatever. It's the album was meant to be. Paul and John sat together with George Martin in a room, and maybe George and Ringo, and said, this is how it's going to be ordered. And that's how the album was.
No, it's absolutely true.
You forget that.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
When you get a turntable, you can't hit. There's no remote to hit the button to skip. So
right.
You listen like we used to.
And you have to get up and turn the album over.
That's right. You got to get up.
That's right.
And then turn it over. Exactly.
That's exactly right. By the way, Carrie, oddly enough, I can plug what's going to be happening on the show tomorrow, right, Dan? Segway. Jim Hankey is going to be down here with one of the guys from Pinwheel Records. There's a big event happening, and we're going to talk vinyl tomorrow night on the show.
Oh, cool. I will listen.
All right, Carrie. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Take care. See ya. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to see the Beatles perform all of Rubber Soul.
Could we get them in a hologram form?
That would be, yeah. Because that album is just the best, man. Revolver and Rubber Soul are my two favorite Beatles records.
Well, then they never played those live, right?
No.
Am I correct? Yeah.
No. They, the thing
because
about...
when did they stop?
64? No. 65. 65 was, I believe, their last gig was 65. And so they may have, they may have had some stuff from Rubber Soul. They may have played some stuff from Rubber Soul. But...
Yeah, but nowadays they totally could play any of those.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
Any of those songs live.
But those two albums, the reason I like those two albums the best, Rubber Soul and Revolver, and Esmeralda, you're a big Beatles fan. I love those two albums. I adore them. I mean, I love all of the Beatles. The entire discography of the Beatles is great.
Yeah.
But those two albums mean more to me than the rest of them because that's that incredible bridge they had between mop-top pop song Beatles.
Yeah.
And psychedelic experimental Beatles.
Yeah, it's still not all the way.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly. I mean, Rubber Soul is a little more straightforward. Revolver is a little more experimental because, like, Tomorrow Never Knows is on there, and they were
right. But it's still so good. Yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm totally in agreement.
Yeah,
those are really great albums.
Those are the transition albums for them.
Yeah, those are the ones I always go to.
Yeah, absolutely. Those albums are just amazing. And I, if I had to pick which one I like better out of the two, I prefer Revolver.
Oh, I was watching this. It was a series on PBS called Soundbreaking.
Oh yeah, I know the series.
Yeah, and they were talking about specifically Tomorrow Never Knows.
Oh, what a crazy
the layers.
And, oh,
of
insane
ridiculousness.
And again, last year we lost George Martin.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Here's Duncan on WGN. Hey, Duncan.
Nick, how are you, buddy?
All right, man. What's up?
Hey, I love the show.
Thank you.
Couple of things, Orleans. I'm going back to that.
Okay.
They had a song called "Love Takes Time," and if you heard it, you'd know it. I don't know if it was like a number one, but it was in the top 40.
Okay.
And you'd know it. You'd know it if you heard it.
Okay.
Also, you like Steve Earle and John Prine, guys like that.
Sure, of course
Nick,
I do.
Nick, they've got an acoustic song called "Forever." It is the Shawshank Redemption of acoustic songs, my man. Seriously. It is phenomenal. So check out Forever. It's an acoustic song. It's about friendship, and you'd really, really enjoy it.
Will do.
So Cheap Trick. I just have to tell you something. I was half asleep, and then you started talking about Cheap Trick, and I perked right up. Man, I love, love, love Cheap Trick. And it's in color, black and white, that stuff. They're the gods, man. I love Rick Nielsen and the boys.
Yep. And those guys, by the way, still as good as they were, if not better than they were in 1977 the first time I saw them.
I've seen them probably three or four times, but it's been years as I'm a old guy now. But but every time I saw them, they never disappointed. They were always on top of it.
Always
beautiful.
Yep.
So now as I've gotten older, Nick, I'm mellowing in my old age, and I can tell you that I keep listening to Steely Dan's Asia album. I know you probably hate Steely Dan.
Oh, no, Duncan. Oh. I adore Steely Dan. I love Steely
Dan.
Oh, my God. Yeah, one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Walter Becker and Donald Fagen are my guys.
Yeah.
And I cannot, your previous caller talked about, vinyl, and God, I had about, 3,000 albums, for God's sake.
Right.
I wish I still had them, but Steely Dan Asia and Donald Fagen, the lead singer of Steely Dan.
Yeah.
He came out with an album called The Night Flyer.
Great album.
With that one?
Great album.
Yeah.
No. I'm a huge fan of those guys, and I'm sorry, Duncan. We hit the buzzer here. We got the news coming up, but Duncan, thank you, man. So Steely Dan, Asia, front to back. I got a great Steely Dan story, which I've told before, and I can tell it again. The news is, oh my God, 3 seconds. Completely and shockingly transported myself back to Ginger's Ale House circa 1992 and 93 when the Damn Commitment soundtrack was played every 5 minutes when I was in the bar. 708 area code, that's the Commitments with the Mustang Sally. Great movie. Music is great. When you're working 10 hours in a bar and you hear that song 50 times during one shift, not so great. Esmeralda, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Man. All right. Hey, welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Coming up after 4:30, we're going to talk a little bit about diabetes. Dr. John Lantis of Mount Sinai West and St. Luke's Hospitals in New York is going to join us to talk about diabetes and the developing diabetic foot ulcers, which is how Ron Santo, who was a diabetic, lost his legs. And we'll tell you how you can donate to JDRF and all that stuff. That's all coming up a little bit after the 4:30 news. Right now, though, we're talking about bands that are that have toured and played entire albums front to back. And Esmeralda, here's some of the Riot Fest ones that you missed.
Okay.
Jane's Addiction played Nothing Shocking. The Offspring played Smash.
That would have been good.
Weezer played the Blue Album.
Ah, yeah.
You wouldn't be excited to see Jane's Addiction play Nothing Shocking?
No.
Oh man.
But Weezer, yes. Okay. I remember when they played the Aragon. They played Weezer Blue Album, and then they did Pinkerton the next night.
Yeah.
I would have killed to go on to see that. I didn't get to go.
Slayer played Rain and Blood.
No, that's okay.
NoFX played Punk in Drublic.
No, that's okay.
I get
not
that.
Not a big NoFX fan.
I get that now. I've never heard that title of that album before. See, it's Punk in Drublic. See?
Right.
That's funny.
You get it now.
I get it now. The Descendants played Milo Goes to College. These were all 2014, by the way. Naked Ray Gun played Throb Throb, which is a great record. And then in 2015... Snoop Doggy Dogg played Doggy Style.
So that would have been good.
Ice Cube with special guests played Straight Outta Compton.
That would have been good.
Rancid played and Out Come the Wolves. And then in 2016, The Hold Steady played Boys and Girls in America. And Jane's Addiction played Ritual de lo Habitual, which is a better album than Nothing Shocking. So those were some of the ones. And callers and texters are letting us know that the Beatles' last show was at Candlestick Park in 66.
Oh, okay.
And then they're counting the rooftop. The last time they played together was on the rooftop. You can see that in Let It Be.
Right. And then they weren't into playing those albums because they couldn't.
Right. Right. So 66 was their last at Candlestick Park. But the last time they ever played together was on the rooftop, which you can see in Let It Be.
See, now I'm imagining them like behind just a million pieces of equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't really see their faces because they're just, like, messing with everything.
Yeah, to try and recreate it. I will say this. You know, Cheap Trick, I saw Cheap Trick perform all of Sgt. Pepper with an orchestra from front to back. And it was amazing. And it was Cheap Trick. They released that album. They released their version of Pepper. And it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And there were, like, 900 people on stage, though. So... let's see. 312 area code says, whole album concerts I saw. Pete Townsend performed Psycho Derelict at the Area Crown. The Who performed Quadrophenia. Scott from Streamwood said, at Alpine Valley, I saw ZZ Top. They played Cheap Sunglasses and then their greatest hits after that. I would like to hear UFO play Strangers in the Night. Scott from Streamwood, I saw UFO play Strangers in the Night. And it was unbelievable. It was another one. They played two nights. They were at the Vic. We went both nights. Both nights. And it was like the entire lineup. Shanker was in the band. It was the whole original lineup. And they came out and they played Strangers in the Night in order, front to back. And that was the one I told this story before, Esmer. I don't know if you remember this, but I can't remember the name of the guys who opened up for him, the band who opened up for him. But the crowd for UFO, at this time, it was in the 90s when we went to see them for this like reunion tour, full-on Strangers in the Night. And by the way, UFO, Strangers in the Night, best live album ever recorded. Best, it's the all nonstop jams from the beginning to the end. Phenomenal. So they hadn't played together. The UFO had not played together in like 15 years. So UFO's target audience are dudes, normally dudes like with long hair who like to get drunk.
Okay.
And so this is the Vic Theater filled from top to bottom with long hair dudes who are drinking and who have waited 15 years to see this band. So the opening act comes out. Immediately people start booing and saying, get off the stage and throwing stuff at them. And I felt terrible for them. They just started, the entire crowd just started chanting, UFO! UFO! I mean, you couldn't even hear the band. And I felt bad for this band. But the lead singer of the band started screaming back at the audience. And I'm like, dude, that is not the right approach. That's the exact wrong approach for these drunk idiots who have been waiting 15 years to see UFO. They've been drinking since 5 p.m. So he starts screaming, hey, I'm a UFO fan too, man. Give us a chance. And they're like, shut up. And they're swearing and throwing beer at him and stuff. And they had to cut their set short. You know, I can't remember. They did like maybe three, four songs. And then they end up storming off the stage. People start cheering. But here's the thing about the idiots that were chanting and throwing stuff at these guys. That didn't get UFO out earlier. They did not come out to the stage earlier. So now you're still waiting. And they were continuing to drink. And then UFO finally came out when they were supposed to come out, because they're not going to come out early. So that gave us like an extra 45 minutes of nothing on stage. Nothing to do but drink. So by the time UFO came out, everybody was annihilated. And it was awesome. They were great. I went the second night. Same thing happened to the opening band, and I'm pretty sure it was probably the same 15,000 people who came. Or no, it's 15,000. You can't fit 15,000 people in the Vic. Anyway, it's the same. I'm pretty sure it was probably the same dudes. I know all of my friends and I went both nights. There was like six of us. We're like, yeah, UFO, man. That was a great show, though. A great show. Brian says, my dream fulfilled concert would be... Keep in mind, Esmeralda, this texter's name is Brian, so maybe you might know where this is going to go. Brian says, my dream-fulfilled concert would be to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra perform the entire Gymkhana score from front to back.
That's not happening later in the year?
Yeah, the symphony is going to perform Gymkhana live.
Ricardo Moody, huge Gymkhana fan.
Let's see. 708 area code says, Boston's first album. I'd love to see them play Boston by Boston. 765 area code says, I saw Peter Frampton perform Frampton Comes Alive front to back 2 years ago. Oh, my God, 2 years ago. 630 area code, I'd love to see the Foo Fighters play their original album front to back. 630, Todd Rundgren, Something Anything, that is such a great record. A great record. 630 says, U2 is always touting moving forward during press interviews and on stage. It's official, U2 has nothing new to offer. No, they've got a new album that they're working on. They're just celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Joshua Tree. They have a new record that they're recording right now, so they do have new things to offer. It's just they get people get mad when they put them on their Apple, when they put them on their iPhone, they get mad. Hey, I didn't ask for this free U2 record. Remember people got so pissed about that, Dan?
Yep.
I didn't ask for this. Why are you giving me free music? How dare you give me an entire album for nothing? Oh, God. All right. All right, we got a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this topic with more. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. And then we're going to talk with Dr. John Lantis about diabetes. And that's all coming up right here on WGN. Oh, by the way, we have a Blackhawks Express. They beat the Dead Wings last night in overtime. And so we will hear the Blackhawks Express coming up later, too. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Uh-oh, I'm going to sneeze.
Gesundheit.
Oh, thank you. My brains just shot out of my nose on that one. Hi. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday continues. 312-981-7200. Robert requested Chris Christopherson with Why Me Lord. Yeah. Coming up after 4:30, we're going to talk with Dr. John Lantis of Mount Sinai West and St. Luke's Hospitals in New York. And we're going to talk a little bit about diabetes and diabetic foot ulcers, which we all know that Ron Santo lost his legs due to that. And we're going to talk about how you can prevent it and how you can, deal with it. And also tell you a little bit about more about JDRF. And that's coming up. Blackhawks Express as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we're talking about, the Joshua Tree is 30 years old and U2 is going out on the road to perform the Joshua Tree from front to back, first cut to the last cut. And we've been talking about bands who have done that and seeing the bands and bands who you would like to see do that. Like, what bands would you like to see perform an album, and what album would you like to see them perform from the beginning to end? And Jay in Ohio says, Nick, I would like to see Elton John do Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy live. Plus, it's a great album cover. Jay says the Go-Go's performed Beauty and the Beat for the 25th anniversary. Oh, man, that must have been awesome. That must have been awesome. Tim says the Joshua Tree concert tour is freaking awesome idea. Won't likely be able to afford a ticket, but it still will be awesome. Even though the album is 30 years, it's 30 years later, it still doesn't sound dated and it sounds fresh. Steve says, I would love to see The Whom perform Quadrophenia with a full orchestra backing. They've done that recently. 773 area code says, I'd love to see Molly Hatchet perform Flirtin' with Disaster. Oh. Kathy says, I would love to see a tour by Queensryche of Operation Mindcrime. I saw that. I saw it twice. Operation Mindcrime, one of the best albums of the 80s. Incredible concept album by Queensryche, one of the best metal bands of the 80s. And I saw them. It was an unbelievable show. Not to mention, how about Pink Floyd, The Wall? That was a whole deal. Giant show. And then Roger Waters toured with it as well. He also did, he released a record in the 80s called The Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking, Roger Waters, which is a great album, a really great album, and he toured with that and did the whole album with all kinds of, like, visual effects and all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. Operation Mindcrime, Queensryche. That was jams. Esmeralda, are you familiar with Queensryche?
Not really.
You don't know Silent Lucidity?
Maybe I do.
Dan, and can you cue up, if you can, Silent Lucidity? You'll know it as soon as you hear it, Esmeralda. I promise you.
They're not like, who is it? Anthrax, who isn't that metal.
Their first couple of records were really pretty hard.
Or Iron Maiden.
They're not like Maiden. They're more glam than that.
Iron Maiden was so confusing to me when I first heard them.
Maiden rules.
I just didn't get it because it did not match the scary shirts I saw in high school.
That's Eddie.
Am I going for the chorus here? Or just
yeah, go for the chorus. Right. See if it,
one
if
moment,
you,
please.
If you recognize this, this is Silent Lucidity, and this video was on MTV constantly. Now, granted, this was like in the late 80s, so you were a little kid.
Right, but you know.
But you might remember this. Like maybe from pop, they might have done a pop-up video on it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. That's how popular Silent Lucidity was here. It's a place where you will
what? This is Queensryche?
Yeah.
That name does not match
well, this
what
is,
I thought.
This is a ballad that they did.
Right, but.
But this was
think
their...
they'd be doing ballads.
Well, yeah, they did, and this was their biggest hit. Every metal band did a ballad in the 80s.
Yeah, but this is real ballady.
Yeah. It's a great song. No, by the way, this was 80... Wait, when was this? This was... Silent Lucidity was 90... 1990. 1990.
Yeah, their logo does not match...
They rule.
...that whatsoever.
Yeah, that was like their... You know, but every metal band released... A ballad. Every single one of them released a ballad, and even if they were like a pretty hard, you know, rock or metal band, you had to release one commercial ballad so that it sold records, so that the chicks liked the band, and so that the video got airplay. You just had to do it. You had to, even if you were the hardest band in the world, you had to do it. Hell, even Metallica started doing ballads. And there was one of the, it was like the hardest band in the world at one point. And on the Black album, there's two ballads on that album.
Huh.
So that was just part of the game. Part of the game that you had to play. But yeah, that's Queensryche. That's Silent Lucidity. Hi, now you know the band Extreme?
Yeah.
All right, now you know their hit. Their
yeah,
big hit.
Yeah, but I assume that's what they always do.
No.
Really?
No.
They were so pretty.
No way. Esmeralda, if you were to listen, because that more than words, you know, don't ever let me go. You know, that song with the video with the lighter.
No, that one's great.
Okay. That's nothing. That sounds nothing like 99% of Extreme's discography. They were a hard band. Udo Bettencourt, unbelievable. I saw them at the Riv when that song was a huge hit because this girl wanted to go, and I knew one of the managers at the Riv. So we go, and she's like, for the first like 8 songs, she's like, what is this? Why are we here? What are they going to do more than words? I'm like, I told you that this is what it sounds like. I tried to warn you that more than words is not at all indicative of what Extreme does. She was like crying, and then they finally play more than words, like you know, like last song. Like I sat here for an hour and a half, my ears are bleeding, and now I get to hear the song I came for. Oh man! All right, real quick here, Steve the limo driver. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How are you?
All right, good. What's up?
Hey, I don't know if you remember, but the Who did a concert, I believe it was Quadrophenia, and they simulcasted it to a bunch of theaters around the country here.
Yeah.
And the Gateway, I was there at the Gateway, and I believe it was Quadrophenia, I'm pretty sure. So that would be a whole album.
Yeah, well, they toured that a bunch of times. I'm going to put Steve there. Steve sounds like he's in a bucket.
He's a tiny man in a bucket.
He's like a tiny man in a giant metal bucket. That's what it sounded like he was.
That is his home.
He was calling from. Maybe that's Steve's own version of reverb. Is that what it was? I'm calling from a bucket. Anyway, yeah, Quadrophenia, they performed a bunch of times. They performed Tommy a bunch of times as well, because they've done, you know, 3-4 concept albums as well. All right. The concept album is easy to do. You know, if you do a concept album, that's, you know, it's kind of, it goes hand in hand with you performing the whole thing. That's why Operation Mindcrime was performed by Queensryche, because that's a concept record. So tells a lovely little story. Okay, we have to take a break. And coming up is the news, and then after the news, we're going to talk a little bit about diabetes and how you can help out JDRF when Dr. John Lantis joins us. That's all coming up right after the news. All right, so we were talking about Queensryche. No. The entire morning we've been talking about the
Queensryche Wednesday.
It's Queensryche Wednesday, that's right. It's Silent Lucidity Wednesday. No, we were talking about bands, you know, performing full albums.
Yes.
In concert. And we've got a whole bunch of people who had seen a bunch of them. And then we talked about this because U2 is touring with the Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. Ron from South Beloit says, I would love to see Van Halen perform their first album front to back. Yeah, that'd be good. Van Halen's first album. This is a topic we can do sometime, Dan. Greatest debut albums of all time.
That is a good one.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we've ever done that. Or if we have, it's been years. Greatest debuts album of all time. Debut albums of all time. Van Halen 1 is near the top of that list.
What's on that one?
You Really Got Me. Ain't Talking About Love.
Oh, so all the good
Eruption.
Ones.
No, not all the good ones.
All right.
No, but that album is hit after hit after tasty hit. Mm-hmm. Let's see. 574 says, I went to Riot Fest in 15 and last year. It's always special when they have a band play a whole album. Snoop Dogg was supposed to play Doggy Style. He was 30 minutes late, and then he just performed random hits. He got cut short because he was late. He was fighting with Riot Fest officials. It was great.
Maybe because he doesn't remember.
Well, he was probably high as a kite.
Yeah, he doesn't remember what was on Doggy Style.
Yeah, he probably doesn't remember. And then did you hear what Morrissey did at the last Riot Fest?
You couldn't serve
meat while he was there?
Yeah, you couldn't serve meat, which is so bogus. It's
ridiculous!
Like, don't throw your stuff on me, man.
Yeah.
You're vegan, but come on.
I thought Wings had that, too, that they whenever they would play stadium.
Who? Wings?
Wings.
Well, Paul McCartney is a vegetarian,
right,
so is Linda.
And yeah.
Which that could be fine because it's probably ahead of time, but this was just like at a festival.
Yeah, no meat.
Where there's like a million
or
bands.
Or meat products. You couldn't get
it's
meat.
Like, that's so dumb.
It's ridiculous.
And it wasn't a thing of you can't have them there. It was stop selling.
Stop selling it.
So you then can't. These vendors just have raw meat sitting
and
out
they had
waiting.
To put they had to put up signs that said Morrissey said no meat.
Blame Morrissey. Yeah. Can't have any meat right now.
Morrissey and his hair. 773 air code says, I would love to see Janet Jackson do the whole Rhythm Nation CD. I saw that tour. I saw her on the Rhythm Nation tour. She didn't do the whole album in order.
Yeah.
But she did a lot off of it. It was great, too. She opened with Rhythm Nation. She opened
I would
that.
Like Velvet Rope.
Yeah.
Which one had If?
Velvet Rope.
Yeah. Velvet Rope.
Yeah. But Rhythm Nation is a tremendous record. It was a great show. The thing was that there was a lot, you know, this was like, the era where people there was the lip syncing started, and because she dances, there's like 27 people dancing around on stage. There was a lot of lip syncing.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
a lot of stuff was tracked. Yeah, but the thing is, I've seen Madonna 4 or 5 times. Never lip syncs. Never ever lip syncs because she rules.
Okay.
My future ex-wife Madonna.
Quick story that ties in with all of this.
Yeah.
When Lena and I first started dating, she always was really excited when David Cook, who was the American Idol guy, was on the radio. So, trying to be the suave new boyfriend, I saw that he was playing like one of the casinos in Indiana.
Oh.
So, I bought tickets and I surprised her. And he's like 3 songs into the set and he goes, all right, but everybody, if you haven't figured it out, we're playing the album front to back. And I looked at her, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I love it when bands do this. What's the next song? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? And she's like, I don't have his album. And I'm like, wait a minute, you don't have his album? And she's like, no, I just like that song. And I'm like, so I spent $80 on tickets when I could have bought you a $12 CD? And she looked at me and goes, yep.
That happened to me too. What's with boyfriends wanting to do that?
What?
Be nice and take you to places?
I got surprised with tickets to a band that I had expressed, like, yeah, no, that's a cool, I've heard this song before, this is cool.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard anything else. I'm kind of like, I don't really know any of these songs.
Who was it?
Oh, gosh. J.D. McPherson?
That doesn't help me at all.
I believe he's like a rockabilly, kind of like alt country.
I think I used to work with him at a Florida radio station. Yeah, J.D. McPherson!
I think it's McPherson. He's good, but you know, it was a thing of like, I have no clue what's going on. Can we leave?
He was just trying to be nice, Esmeralda. Let's find out what's happening on the opening bell. Here is Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Remember earlier this week, the mayor announced there was about $1 billion coming for Red Line and Purple Line rehab. We're going to be talking with the Chicago Tribune transportation reporter coming up about how that's going to happen, what it's going to mean to you, and other transportation issues in Chicago, all coming up next on the opening bell.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye.
All right, last one here was 815 area code says the DVD Pulse by Pink Floyd has the whole Dark Side of the Moon album on it, and it's awesome. All right. Dark Side of the Moon. Blow some weed and listen to it. That's what all my friends did. Now, and then they added the old extra twist. You blow some weed, you put it on with the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Have you ever done that?
No.
No, I'm not saying blow the weed part.
No,
have you ever
either?
Have you? You should do it. It's cool. No, seriously, it's really cool.
I don't think I've ever listened to a Pink Floyd album.
But it's cool to just watch it with the Wizard of Oz. I'm not kidding. It's a little weird how things line up.
Sure,
it is. I'm telling you. All right. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
It's Thursday.
It is,
and we're going to talk some vinyl with Jim Hankey.
Very nice.
All right. News is next.